Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. Welcome to the Kings of Sport, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous podcast, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. Happy New Year, everybody. We back 2021. We made it, and we are so glad to be bringing you our first new show of the new year. So let me bring on my co-host, the gentleman that hails from Southern California. He is my brother, my tag team partner. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring in Marcus. Mitch better have my money, Vandenberg. What's going on, brother?
Happy New Year.
Yes.
Kwanzaa's over, correct?
Question mark? Kwanzaa's okay. I think Kwanzaa's over. Chinooka's in the rearview mirror. Christmas long gone.
Long gone. Happy 2021.
Yes. Do you feel different, Marcus? Like, it's a new year. Like, 2020 is far behind us. We ain't got nothing to worry about, baby.
Feels like 2020. not gonna lie.
It's like the terrible post-credit scene to 2020 if it was a movie.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how this week goes, but we're recording on Tuesday, which...
Yep.
Big night in Georgia.
And then election Wednesday, night in America again.
Yeah. Wednesday, big day in D.C. So we'll see how the next two days go.
Like, if for nothing else, can we get all this figured out so Steve Kornacki can finally go to sleep, man? This brother been up for like 3 months straight.
I know. And I think similar to election that we won't have a winner on Tuesday.
Nope.
This might drag out towards the end of the week. So plus recounts and GOP foolishness, and, you know, I'm sure Trump will have a phone call in there between now and the 20th. So, Yeah, 2020, man.
Well, maybe I can brighten your spirits this week, Marcus, because I, much like the president, much like our man DJT out here on these streets, I too made a phone call this past week to see if I could, you know, get some support. And I was able to be successful with that, brother. And so, you know, I found a co-conspirator out there who is willing to help us out. So let me bring in our guest, man. This brother's a friend of the program. Sometimes he's a frenemy of the program, I guess you could say, at times, Marcus Vandenberg. he is the man that hails from the great state of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring this man in here. Show some love for the one and only TJ McClune.
Yes,
TJ, what's good, brother?
I'm very happy. Tonight is such a big night here in our country. There's a lot of voting that's been done. We'll have a winner. And it's going to be great that the Heisman Trophy finalist will finally be announced as the winner. And we'll finally have a Heisman Trophy winner for 2020. That's what you guys are talking about in the intro, right? The Heisman Trophy tonight.
Devontae Smith, of course. Roll Tide.
Yes.
That's right.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I'm not sure, and we can get into it, because we're going to talk lots of football this week, folks. We got the NCAA championship coming up. We got the NFL playoffs about to kick off, no pun intended. So let's just start with some football. Because here's the thing, TJ. I'm not sure if Devontae is the best player in college football, question mark. But hey, I'm just saying, I do think he should win the Heisman for nothing else than it's a perfect kind of end cap to 2020. Like, in this crazy-ass year where Ohio State gets into a national championship after playing six games, like, let's give it to the wide receiver for once.
So I would agree with you on this one, except the guy Mac Jones. I pull for him,
Mac
not
10.
Because he's a quarterback, not because he's probably the greatest Alabama quarterback since, you know, maybe Joe Namath, maybe. But him and I share
this AJ McCarron slander. This AJ McCarron slander will not abide.
He's no Greg McElroy, but let's be honest. No one is a Greg McElroy. But my last name is McAloon. It's spelled MCA. It's close enough to Mac. So anytime there's a Mac involved, I pull for them. So let's go, Mac Jones. I'm pulling for you.
So I've watched every down of Alabama football this year.
I wonder why.
I wonder why, too. And this is no disrespect to Mac Jones, because he did an excellent job. But I think Devontae Smith, you know, for what he did on the field this year as a receiver and as a punt returner, it's hard to give the award to Mac Jones. And that's not to say – look, Mac is definitely, I think, helped his stock. He's going to be, I think, the first rounder this year. That's not a position I would have had before the start of the season. So, and if it wasn't for his teammate, I think Mac would have won. I think he's a better choice than Kyle Trask. So, I think it'll be Devontae 1, Mac Jones 2, and then I guess Trask 3 and Lawrence 4.
So no love between the three of us for your man Sunshine out here at Clemson.
My only Trevor Lawrence issue is the fact that he missed games, and that's not his fault, but right. You know, it's already a weird enough season considering Ohio State played six games and Bama played basically a full schedule, and you know, but the fact that if you're going for the Heisman and your numbers don't compare because you've missed games, and you know, that's on you.
I do want to give a shout out before we continue the conversation, fellas, to the folks out there watching. We got some people in the chat already. Marcus Vandenberg, we got a brother Brandon from New Jersey, we got Jermaine, the top hater in all of Chicagoland, checking in. And I think they both agree about Devontae taking home the hardware tonight.
What's up, Brandon? What's up, Jermaine?
Hey. This is good. I like the live comments now. Now people can react to my terrible jokes in real time. This is nice.
And this is how the show will crumble. With a terrible TJ McClune joke, cut to hashtag cancel the Kings.
This is true. I am like Billy Gill, where I am here just to be the anarchist and just completely just destroy everything inside itself.
So let's talk about this national championship game. You know, we talked about Mac 10 out there and Devontae for them Bama, the Crimson Tide. But Justin Fields, Marcus Vandenberg. First of all, did you see Ohio State toppling Clemson and really mollywhopping them out there in that semifinal game? And do they have a shot against Bama in the national championship?
So before we dive in, there's been some chatter today about the national title game getting pushed back a week because Ohio State is dealing with a COVID outbreak. And, you know, I do think if you want a fair, I guess, winner in all this, you should probably try to delay it. So there's a chance that we might not have a title game this Monday. It'll be actually the 18th. So as for Ohio State, I did not see them winning that game against Clemson. I thought the Ohio State had its moments during its regular season, but I thought, you know, Clemson was the better team on paper when you consider Etienne and Lawrence, the fact that they played basically a full schedule. So I was surprised. you know, Justin Fields has been, I think, unfairly criticized this season for some of his performances. I don't, you know, when we talk about sort of draft stock and
No. I'm saying this now, and I'm speaking for myself, Marcus Vandenberg. Uh-huh. I want all the Justin Fields slander because I want that brother to fall a couple notches, and then you know where he can come home to.
Jacksonville.
Like, get out of here, Tony Khan. But yeah, Marcus, I think TJ Khan over here. I think that. Well, first of all, starting with the COVID and TJ, you know, we talked about that before the show about the game probably being postponed, and it's probably a good thing to not put these kids in risk and in harm's way. But what do you think about, you know, the game itself, but also that specter, that thing that we didn't leave behind in 2020, despite what everybody might try to tell you, like coronavirus is still here. It's not going anywhere. What are your thoughts on the big game, brother?
Well, not just with the Ohio State game on Monday. There's the NFL wildcard game between the Steelers and Browns that there's a good chance that's not going to happen. If that doesn't happen, they have to push it back to Monday or maybe Tuesday. Then what does that do for the divisional round? Because if it holds still with that Steelers and Browns game, the winner of that plays the Bills the next round. And that game, the Bills have Saturday slate. So what does that do for there, which we can get into here, I guess, in a second. But as it pertains to the national title game potentially on Monday, that it doesn't get pushed back unless there's an uncontrollable outbreak between the Ohio State, you know, team. But also, if Justin Fields can play on Monday, I have a good feeling that game will be played no matter what, because that game is a TV byproduct. They want to have the coaches' room on ESPN2, and they want to have the Ohio State, you know, fan cam on ESPNU and the Alabama fan cam on ESPN3. So as long as those stars are going to be there and able to play, and the, you know, Sun Life Stadium or Hard Rock or Sun Kissed or whatever the hell they're calling the stadium in Miami now can be filled up with 20 to 30,000 people, that game will get played on Monday.
Mm. I tend to agree, and I think that, you know, just looking at it as a game, as a contest, while I have the utmost respect for Justin Fields, again, like, I'm trying to hope that man comes home to Georgia. I don't think that lightning is going to strike twice. I think Marcus's Crimson Tide are going to roll. Sorry, Jermaine. Sorry, Vanessa Shark, who's been on the program before, friend of the show. I just think Alabama's got too much in the tank, Marcus, to fall prey to what Clemson fell prey to in the semifinal.
I would agree with you. I'm clearly biased, but I do believe that, and this is without Jalen Waddle. If Jalen Waddle is able to even play as a decoy on Monday, I think that'll just, you know, that's just bonus at this point. But I think, you know, I have not seen a team who has slowed down Matt Jones. I have not seen a team that has figured out Najee Harris. Obviously, no one has figured out Devontae Smith. And, you know, I would have thought once Waddle was out, that would, you know, teams, if they wanted to focus on Devontae and shut him down and you know, make the John Metchie beat you, they could. But that hasn't worked either. So I will say the only flaw in the Alabama game plan would be the defense, which has been serviceable at times. It's not the Alabama defense that I think, when you think historically about Nick Saban's teams over the years, like, they're not that defense.
Yeah.
They're not going to hurt you, but they're not really, I think, going to help you when it came. It's really coming down to the offense. And we should mention, this will be Steve Sarkisian's last game as the Alabama offensive coordinator, because he's going to TJ's backyard to try to salvage that fledgling football program known as University of Texas.
There's some shenanigans behind that. I'm not. I don't have any inside info or reporting, but I mean, Ellinger announces he's going to go pro. Then the next day, they announce that Tom is out, and then 10 minutes later, Sarkisian announces the head coach. It's like, you don't hire someone that's going to take over one of the, you know, top five programs in college football. I mean, maybe top six, because number five here is my Pitt Panthers, which I'm sporting their hoodie today. But you don't hire someone to take over Texas in 10 minutes by dropping, you know, a press release on Twitter. There's something that's been going on for months now of back channeling, talking to Steve, and whoever, who else knows what's going on there. So it's not, there's more to this that would not surprise me if it comes out later on.
And before we get to our predictions in the big game, Marcus, final scores and whatnot, let's talk about Sark for a second. Because I remember when it might have been like the first or second year we started the Kings of Sport, where he was going through his troubles and all the stuff with USC. And so do you feel like Sark has done enough to redeem himself, rehabilitate himself, and get this spot now where he is in charge of a program, which, you know, they've had some rough years, but if you look at history, like, Texas has been a team that has been pretty prominent. Do you feel like this is a good fit for Coach Sark?
I wonder how this is going to play out, because, you know, this is a job that comes with a lot of pressure.
Yep.
Probably the most pressure in college football at the moment, based on the legacy, based on the fan base, based on the fact that they haven't been sort of a national powerhouse, I would say probably since Colt McCoy, maybe Vince Young. So we're talking 10, 15 years ago.
And yeah, like to paraphrase your man Rick Pitino, like Colt McCoy is not walking through that door. Ricky Williams ain't walking through that door. Vince Young
Michael
ain't walking
Griffin's
through that
not
door.
Walking through that
Michael
door.
Michael Griffin ain't walking
Brian
through that door, Marcus.
Brian Rappo's making cupcakes about 20 minutes from where I live right now, this little cupcake shop with him and Michael Griffin.
When you consider the amount of talent in the state of Texas and the fact that we've seen quarterback after quarterback leave the state of Texas to go to Oklahoma or elsewhere. I just think there are a lot of expectations, and I just wonder if Sark will have the time needed to actually turn this around. Because if you need time to recruit, you need time to get your guys. So that's going to at least take a couple seasons. I don't think he has that time. I think he's going to have to come in next year and win 9-10 games to at least get people, the fan base, sort of off his back to allow him to actually do the job he needs to do. So, you know, I'm curious to see if he's going to call plays in Texas or if he's going to hand that off to someone else. I'm curious to see what he does about his defensive coordinator and how the rest of the Texas staff changes as a result. So, I mean, good for him. I'm glad that he sort of turned his life around and got help he needed and, you know, was able to sort of rehab his professional career. But, you know, when I, you know, and maybe, you know, TJ would agree, when I was thinking of like the next coach of Texas, considering they went sort of this, I want to say indie route with Tom Herman, but they sort of went, you know, against the grain with Herman, I thought they would go for a more established head coach to replace him, not sort of taking a sort of a flyer on a guy who, to be honest, look, he did not succeed really at Washington. He did not succeed at USC. This is his third shot of a head coaching role. He would not be the first guy on my list to coach that team.
So with Texas, there are three things I was thinking of, and we'll start with Herman first. He got the job because Charlie Strong didn't recruit here in the state for the high schools. So his relationship with some of these big coaches like your Todd Dodges and Westlake, you know, your guys up in Denton, your guys up in Cedar Hill, I'm blanking on some of the big 6A names that produce those big quarterbacks like Ben Allen with Kyler Murray.
Travis.
What's up? Yeah, like Travis. Yeah, exactly. I hate to bring back up Pitt, but I'm always going to talk about my hometown. Pitt got Lake Travis, a starting quarterback, to go play there next year, not, you know, Tom Herman in Texas. So we'll see how they do next year with Lake Travis's kid. But Charlie, he poisoned the well back in 2010 when he took over for Mac and ruining some of those relationships with these big name high school coaches. That's why Baker went to Texas Tech before he went out to Oklahoma. You see Pat Mahomes go to Tech and not pick Texas. You see Kyler go out there and eventually land in Oklahoma. Jalen Hurts go to Alabama before going to Oklahoma. So there's been a number of names of quarterbacks that could have carried on that legacy instead of your Shane Buechels or, you know, Ellinger, who's been a good quarterback. People around here in Texas think he's been great. I think he's just been okay. I call him the Mr. Pibb to your Tim Tebow, Dr. Pepper. He's good, but he's not going to do anything for you. So until someone can come in here and find that next great quarterback to lead this program, they're going to continue to be a 7-9 win team. And you may get lucky and make the Sugar Bowl and go play a checked out Georgia team and yell, "We're back," and you know everybody thinks you're the great thing again. And then you get steamrolled the next year against Joe Burrow and LSU. And next thing you know, you're back to 7 wins. And where are we at? We're now playing the Valero Alamo Bowl for another year. And you're stuck around that 7-9 win purgatory. And you're getting beaten down by Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma and Spencer Rattler. So until Texas can find that definitive offensive player, which as we saw against Colorado, they may have that. I mean, they had a great running back quarterback combo to take over for Ellinger. So we'll see for next year. But I mean, until it happens, they aren't back. They aren't the perennial, you know, college football playoff, you know, projected finalists. And they are no more than an Iowa State that's okay, but they're not good.
Damn, Iowa State.
Yeah, it's where they're at. It's like, it's what bugs me about here in Austin. They claim they're back. It's like living in Coral Gables in Miami. And next thing you know, if Derek King has a great game, they're like, "Oh, we're back. It's the U. It's 1990 again. Here's Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson and Luther Campbell running around the field." It's not that. They're just okay. That's what they are. They're no better than, like I said, Iowa State, NC State, freaking Northwestern. Hell, I'm married to someone that went to Indiana, and I'd rather follow them than what's going on here in Texas.
They're fun this year, yeah.
Yeah. The Ted Lasso group. I think Nate's muted.
Nate, you're on mute, Nate.
Now we can fill some more and talk about the upcoming NHL season there, Marcus.
All right. So, yes, like as I was saying, you see, the man tried to shut me down, right? They didn't want to hear what I had to say, TJ. It was too real.
It's also true. Yeah, it's, you know, it's the old man, Arthur Blank. He sees your talk about Justin Fields. He's like, no.
He's like, wait a while. He hears my take on Eric Bieniemy and why they should have hired him yesterday. Arthur Blank doesn't want that smoke. But let's talk about this game before we get to the pros, TJ. Final thoughts in terms of the national championship. This is, if I'm correct, Marcus, this is Alabama's fifth time in the big game in this college football playoff system. They're 2-2, both losses coming to Clemson. Saban's going to try to get on the positive side of the ledger. And Ohio State's going to try to bring that chip back home for the Buckeyes. I'm going to say it's going to be a competitive first half, but then after a while, Alabama's just got too many weapons in the chamber. Yeah, their D is not as good as it has been in years past, but I really like this offense. Like, Mac 10 is a strong player, like TJ said, maybe one of the best quarterbacks they've had in a while. And I think that line will continue. And I think Marcus believes that as well next season. But I'm going to say Bama takes it 42-30. 42-30 is my pick. TJ, what you got?
I'm going to say I'm going to be asleep by the third quarter because this game's going to kick off at 8 o'clock Central Time. And it's not going to end till like 3 in the morning because, God forbid, we cut down challenges and commercials and what have you. One last thing here. I'm going to throw this little conspiracy theory out there because in today's day and age, everyone loves a good conspiracy theory. These COVID results are coming out because they need to buy an extra week for Justin Fields in those ribs or whatever happened to his right side where he's just like, it hurts. And they're like, cool, here's a needle. Get back out there, sport. So I'm going to say they're giving it a week. So whatever is ailing him can make him heal up. So just saying that here. But That being said, Alabama's too talented. Sure, we'll go 55-10, old Dallas Cowboys, Buffalo Bills, Super Bowl final.
Wow. Not only, like TJ with the 1-2 punch, Marcus, so the conspiracy theory and the outright just disrespect, the boat race by Bama. So I've got it, Bama a little bit closer. TJ, outright Bama domination. What say you, Marcus Vandenberg?
Before I give my pick, the latest from Pete Thamel, who works for Yahoo Sports, is as of right now, Ohio State is planning on playing in the title game as scheduled on January 11th. All systems are go for that. There's been COVID-19 issues at Ohio State, but not enough to postpone the game. This is obviously COVID-19 times. Anything can change. So as of now, as of Tuesday, they're still playing. My prediction, I'm going to say Alabama 35, Ohio State 17.
Okay. So Marcus kind of played the middle. Marcus is Switzerland in this situation where I went a little closer. TJ went with the blowout and Marcus went with the gentleman's sweep, if you will, in this situation. So we all going Bama across the board. So to our viewers out there, listeners out there in Ohio and in the Midwest, Big Ten country, sorry. Like, what you want?
Hey, shout
out
Indiana. Go out, all right.
You want us to lie on this podcast, Jermaine? We are here to tell the truth, brother. We're not here to make you feel good. but yeah, let's go from kids risking their health in a game for grown people to make money to adults actually getting paid, TJ, to risk their health in these games to make other people money. And let's talk some National Football League. The playoffs are finally here, TJ. And we can start in the AFC because I want to get into some Steeler talk with you. I know that's your squad, that's your team. So let's talk about, you know, the AFC matchups. And we can begin with your Pittsburgh Steelers, TJ. Any thoughts?
It's amazing how every week there seems to be the team playing against the Steelers has a big COVID outbreak. It's breathtaking how many times that I've had to look at my phone and see an update and see a team they're playing and they have a big COVID outbreak and the game can be played on Sunday or Monday or Wednesday or maybe 2:30 on a Thursday afternoon or whenever it's going to happen. So it's annoying that, again, this is happening. Again, it's the Browns, or as my folk look in Pittsburgh like to say, the Browns, because we have horrible accents. But I'm more concerned about what happens the week after next. And yes, this is me looking ahead, and this is me assuming that Baker Mayfield, who hasn't played a very prominent game in his life since, what, the 2017 Rose Bowl against Alabama, where he played very well and, you know, ended up losing. So I don't – and Olivier Vernier is out for the Browns too. So that's their heart of the defense, and Myles Garrett is still suffering from COVID. So I don't see them stopping Roethlisberger and Claypool and Juju, and if Ebron comes back because he was near someone that had COVID. So I don't see them stopping that defense or stopping the Steelers' offense. But it's the following week where they have to play the Bills, assuming they beat the Colts. And the Bills are coming in from a Saturday 1 o'clock game. The Steelers are already at disadvantage playing Sunday night at 7. But now if the game is pushed back to Monday, then you're giving Buffalo even more time to play that next week on Saturday or Sunday. And Steelers less time to get prepared for them or heal up or whatever it is. So it's more annoying, the fallout, more so than the game itself. Unless the Steelers lose and then this is all for nothing. And I've wasted 5 minutes of my life talking about this.
I mean, that's always a possibility, TJ. They could be one and done. I don't think so, though. I think that, you know, they had nothing really to play for this past week. Against, you know, Patty Cake, Baker Man and them boys. So this is going to be a different story. I feel like despite my own kind of trepidation about the state of who Ben Roethlisberger is right now, because I'm not quite sure if Ben Roethlisberger is all there, TJ. Like some of those games coming down the stretch, he didn't look like he had enough zip left in, on those passes. But I think they got enough to get by the Browns. The question then becomes, yes, if the Bills do beat the Colts, do they have enough to beat the Bills? And then I'm like, I don't know.
But then if they move the game, that's the thing. It's just you have Buffalo 9 days to, you know, prepare and get ready for a Steelers game team coming off four. You have to go up to upstate New York and play in front of the 6,000 cotton swabbed up Buffalo fans that happen to be at the game because now they're allowing fans in. And
Excuses. You'll be all right.
Again, it's if they – well, actually, the hilarious thing would be if Buffalo allows fans in and they get blown out 42-0 to Indy and Phil Rivers. It's like, hey, your fans are finally back in it, and you guys got steamrolled. So congrats. We had to wait for all this time to get, you know, canned.
Marcus, what do you think about this Pittsburgh Cleveland matchup as well as Buffalo and Indy?
I don't know why this is the primetime matchup, to be honest. Sorry, TJ, but
it's why Packers and Bears get primetime, because it's a rivalry, old school.
The last playoff game of the weekend is two Midwest teams, which I'm sure would do great local ratings, but I'm not sure people outside of the Midwest want to watch Brown Steelers, but
no.
Maybe that's me being a West Coast elitist. I don't know what to make of the Steelers down the stretch. Even before this past Sunday, they just haven't looked great since, you know, starting undefeated. I think the running game is not great. I don't know what's up with James Conner. Did he have COVID this year, TJ?
He did have COVID. Yep. He was out middle of the season with COVID. It's not like he's been – I mean, he's always been someone that has been good, and then he hurts his knee and he's out for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So –
yeah, I think we'll see.
And somebody who's owned James Conner for the last three seasons in fantasy football, I can attest to what TJ is saying here.
You can make it a fourth season next year. You can draft him still.
And maybe on the Falcons next year.
Oh. Yeah, there we go. Get Conner, Justin Fields. Come on, rebuild. Yeah. I'm here for it.
With that said, it's hard for me to buy into the Browns. Maybe it's PTSD of just knowing this franchise, what they've done the last, I guess, 18 years now. And on top of the fact that, you know, their coach has COVID now, and then they had to close the facility today so they couldn't practice. And these are all things you don't want to deal with preparing for a Pittsburgh team in the playoffs. So, you know, if I had to pick a team, I'm going to go Pittsburgh on Sunday, but it could be, I think, an ugly game. As for the Bills and the Colts, I'm all in on Buffalo. I think
you're on that Jaheim Allen bandwagon.
I'm on the Jaheim Allen bandwagon. I think they could be a sleeper. I guess as much as a 13-3 team can be a sleeper, but a sleeper Super Bowl pick. I think, you know, Stephon Diggs has helped Josh Allen's career so much this year. Having a legit number one receiver makes all the difference in the world.
Talk to him, Marcus.
And even it's even helped. Like Cole Beasley quietly has turned into a better receiver than he was in Dallas. So I think Buffalo is going to roll past Indianapolis. I am not believing anything Phillip Rivers is doing at age 39. I think the Colts are – I don't know how they finished, 11-5? What is the record? They finished pretty well. Yeah, I don't know how they did that, but I think Buffalo is going to blow them out and will give the 6,000 fans in attendance something to cheer for.
Real quick, before we leave this side of the AFC bracket, I want to get back to TJ Steelers, because there's somebody that I have a lot of affinity for, you know, coming up in this area that I'm sure TJ has some affinity for, and that's Coach Mike Tomlin. And TJ, I'm sure, as you know, like there's some people in the Pittsburgh fan base, maybe even in the Pittsburgh media, that seems to always have issues with Coach Tomlin. What are your thoughts on what Mike Tomlin has done with these Steelers since he got the job, brother?
I mean, he's taken them to three Super Bowls. Two Super Bowls, one, lost to the other one. Hasn't lost in the AFC. Well, he lost one AFC title game. You know, hasn't lost any big playoff games that they're, favored in. I don't know why people would go against him, but they love Cowher. I just cannot put my finger on what the differences between Cowher and Tomlin are. I'm, you know, Not really sure. I will say with Tomlin.
It's the chin.
I think it's because, Tomlin wears sunglasses better than Kyle does. I think that might have been it. Not sure. Maybe there's a baggy gray sweatshirt. Who knows? Maybe it's the not being able to blink part. Tomlin's never blinking, so we'll see. But no, so this is the thing with the Steelers. They haven't won a playoff game since the cluster bleep of a final, the Bengals and Steelers wild card back in 2016 was the last time they've won a playoff game. With the one where Antonio gets his head taken off by Vontaze. Mm-hmm. Vontaze is the hero. Then he becomes the GOAT. Pac-Man Jones is running off the field. Then Joey Porter's getting punched. And now everybody's getting throwing flags at the end of the game. So that was the last time they won a playoff game. And the last time they've been in a playoff game was 2017 divisional round when the Jaguars went into Pittsburgh. And I watched that game in Austin's airport with MJF, and he just made fun of me as Leonard Fournette was running all over my team. I'm like, God, I hate everything about this. And
What a name drop.
I'm just saying. You got to drop names. You just got to drop
them. I see a lot of MJF in you, TJ. This all made sense.
He didn't get the scarf idea until I told him about it because it was too cold in Austin. I was like, hey, put the scarf on, and you'll be all right. And the next thing you know, he takes off.
I think the thing with Tomlin – that gets me, TJ, is if you're Pittsburgh, right? Like, say you get rid of Tomlin. Like, let's say, worst case scenario, they get boat raced in this game this week. And they're one and done in the playoffs. And everybody's like, we got to get rid of Tomlin. If you run Tomlin out of town, there are at least 20 other teams that would either fill a vacancy or get rid of their guy right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For Mike Tomlin. Because the guy's never had a losing season. What was Was it last year when he went 8-8 with them? Mason Rudolph and Duck. Dude named Duck.
So he did 8-8 with the potential maybe racist Mason Rudolph. We're not really sure yet. Burger, the Accuser Burger. We're not really sure what happened in that Alabama hotel. Some things, maybe happened. Mm. But the year back in, I think, 2011, maybe somewhere that – in the early 2010 range, where they started the season 0-4 and they finished 8-4 at the end of the year. Put them on a clip where week 17, they're still fighting for a playoff spot. So much like here in Austin, where they got rid of Mac Brown in 2010 and they hired him with Charlie, and everybody thought, oh, Mac stinks. He can't get over the hump. He's past his prime. 9 wins. And that, blah, 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 blah. And the next thing you know, the next decade, they're stuck in a whole decade of mediocrity. So mm-hmm. I don't want them to get rid of Tomlin because I'm afraid of what's on the other side of that. If we hire some retread and we're stuck going 4-12 because Ben retires and there's no one to fill, the throne of his quarterback legacy, and we're stuck being the Bengals for the next 10 years.
Mm. I mean, Marvin Lewis is available. Jason Garrett is available, brother.
they're not getting rid of Tomlin. Come on.
No. No, and they won't because they started 11-0. They finished well. We'll see what happens once Ben goes. Once Ben goes, so does that team.
The other thing about Tomlin, I hate to frame it this way, but somebody's got to be Jerry Sloan, right? Somebody's got to be the Utah Jazz or the Phoenix Suns when you're playing in a league with Michael Jordan. And Tomlin, like everybody else, has had to exist in a world with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. The last 20 years. And so it's like, were they going to beat the team with Randy Moss? No. Like, were they going to beat the team where, they just steamroll everybody? No. So it's like, the fact that he's done this much in the Belichick era, I think that speaks to his credentials as a coach.
Or him having a division.
Unlike Utah, they actually
– Yep, they won a chip.
Twice under him. Twice. 06, was that Tomlin or was that
– They won one chip and they lost one.
Yeah, there was the one in where they beat up on the Cardinals with Fitzgerald, who was going to be the Super Bowl hero. The next thing you know, Ben went in and threw the the touchdown winning pass to San Antonio, and then they lost the one here in Dallas to the Packers.
Which
Mike, I'm going to name drop here again, but my kids go to school with James Starks' kids, so I have to see him and go, God, I hate your team and all the skinny white receivers running slants and just tearing up my defense. Like, God, Jordy Nelson and Don Beebe. I can't stand those guys.
Mm. So let's wrap up this here AFC with two questions. Number one, Baltimore. I'm sure TJ has no love for them Ravens versus Tennessee. Who you got? And number two, as much as we've talked about Buffalo and perhaps the winner of Baltimore and Tennessee, is will anybody really be surprised if KC just runs through this thing?
I will be. They haven't proven it. I mean, they've proven that they can score whenever they want to because Mahomes is great, but they struggled against your Falcons. They've struggled against the Raiders twice, and that was a mediocre team, if we've ever seen one. They've struggled against the Chargers. There's been a lot of games where they have come out as the winner, but it hasn't been such cut and dry as you would think they would be as being this all-time great team.
Mm. What about you, Marcus?
Not having Clyde Edwards-Helaire down the stretch has hurt the Chiefs. You know, Le'Veon does not look like Le'Veon Bell of Pittsburgh lore. So I think that he looks washed. And this is where, this is where they miss it. Damien Williams, who sat out this year due to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Having him last year, I think, was crucial to the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. So, yeah, Mahomes is great, and Kelce is great, and Tyreek Hill is great. But at some point, you need to sort of have that balance there with the run game. And if Edwards-Helaire isn't going to be healthy for the playoffs, then I think it's going to be tough for Kansas City to win the Super Bowl, relying on, just Le'Veon Bell.
Mm. So in the Baltimore game, who you got coming out of that one, Baltimore, Tennessee?
That should be interesting. Derrick Henry's a beast, but I don't know if he can carry this team past Baltimore by himself. What Baltimore does is similar to what Tennessee does. Like, they're really good at running the ball, starting with, Lamar Jackson on. I just think Baltimore, they sort of have a three-headed running game with Lamar, Dobbins, and Edwards that I think they can control the clock better. And, when they are in trouble, they can just rely on Lamar's legs to get them play. So I'm going to pit Baltimore to win.
And what about you, TJ? Who you got in that game?
Baltimore sucks. They haven't beat a good team since maybe the Browns, and they got lucky to beat the Browns, and that saved their season. So give me Tennessee. I know Tennessee's defense is soft, and they let Deshaun and God knows whoever he was throwing to go all over them, which Texans should have won that game as it is. But Tennessee should win this game and should win it easily because Baltimore is not good. I've seen them lose twice to the Steelers, once because the Steelers kicked their ass in the second half and the second time because they had a bunch of COVID issues. But I don't trust Baltimore at all.
Now, I think that's good analysis from TJ there, Marcus. But full disclaimer, we do want to be transparent with the listeners. Number one, TJ is a Steelers fan. So
I have a Pirates orange hat on and a pit hoodie from that third hockey team. Yeah.
He hates them Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, the bias is seeping out of me like I'm in a sauna right now.
Well, look, number two, like TJ, we all know TJ is the next in line. He's the youngest in charge, the next up and coming wrestling promoter. So he wants Nashville to win so he can go out there and watch the game and maybe – speak with somebody involved with Impact Wrestling while he's out there, That's where TJ gets these deals done, whether it's MJF at the Jaguars game, Dixie Carter, or whoever it may be at the Titans games. That's how TJ gets down, folks.
Aunt Dixie, she's not a bad person, even though she beat Ole Miss beat up on Indiana, but, old Janice Carter.
So let's go to the NFC, and let's run through the NFC real quick, because I think it's less interesting than the AFC. We got the Rams going to Seattle to take on Coach Pete and them boys. We got Jermaine's Bears going up against Drew Brees and his stunt double, Taysom Hill, and the New Orleans Saints. And we've got Tampa Bay, Tom Brady and them taking on – hold on, let me check my notes.
The Washington football team. Yeah. I ain't going to say the old names. I'm about to get canceled. So.
Yeah. TJ, thoughts on those games? Who you got in – How the hell did, this year, like 2020, coming out of 2020, I know that's not the way the NFL does things, but if there was any year to disqualify an entire division, this should have been the year where, NFC East, y'all can just stay home, enjoy the holidays. We're going to take somebody else.
I disagree. Washington's a good team. Washington, and, I hate to circle back to Pittsburgh, but God, I love talking about my former hometown, even though I hope cold weather. They're – very good. Chase Young is going to be a good be a great star in this league. So Terry McLaurin, very good receiver. Antonio Gibson, very good running back. If they didn't start Alex Smith, if they didn't start Dwayne Haskins for those first four or five games, this team would have been a 10 to 11 win team coming out of the East because the Giants are trash. Cowboys were a bunch of hype with no, you know, once Dak went down, their season was tanked. And the Eagles, Carson Wentz is, you know, shot. So this team could have easily gotten to 10 to 11 wins. So I, much like Seattle, when they took down New Orleans in the infamous beast mode game where, you know, Marshawn Lynch is grabbing his crotch as he jumps in the end zone, they can win this game against Tampa, upset Brady, and move on to go on and play the winner of the Seattle game and then go up into Seattle. And sure, Russ is good, but who else is good on the Seahawks right now aside from DK? They're not very good. So why can't Washington make a run and go and play the Packers in the NFC title game?
Wow. TJ McClue here predicting a run, Marcus.
Are you day tricking, TJ? What are you doing?
I like Alex Smith.
Have you seen Alex Smith? Did you see him last week?
I mean, they're plugging a robo leg into him, and he's going to be like half cyborg because he plays his Sunday or Saturday night.
The man can't move. He's just like, you know.
Oh, the Dominican's going to get close to him, and they'll flag the Dominican 15 yards every time for a personal foul because we all know how that's going to play out.
I love the defense. Like,
three-finger JPP.
Like, I think the defense is solid. The defense has carried them a lot this season. When you're talking about Chase Young, who is a beast already in his first season, like Montez Sweat is somebody who I was high on even last season. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the defense is stout. I think they'll get pressure on Brady, and we all know what Brady does when that pressure gets to him, and he starts tap dancing like the late great Gregory Hines. But the question is the offense, and TJ brought up, you know, they got some good young weapons. I think Terry McLaurin is a star waiting to happen, but are they going to be able to put up enough points, Marcus, in this game?
No. The answer is no. Washington's big flaw is the quarterback. Let's, you know, look, the Alex story comeback is great and all.
Great story.
I'm happy for him. Probably one of the greatest comebacks in sports. He is captain shut down for the Redskins. And, you know, the idea of him, if he needed to get the ball downfield, I can't see it happening.
Mm. And, like, back in the day, like, if you think in San Francisco, Kansas City, Alex Smith, like, at least then there was, like, the element of the scramble, the escapability, which is not as prescient today, Marcus, as it was back then.
No.
I'm saying it nicely.
He rushed for 3 yards this year. And that's on purpose because, look, he's got a bionic leg. And he shouldn't probably be on the football field, let alone trying to scramble. So when you take out his legs, when you take out his athleticism, he turns into a pretty, I think, mediocre quarterback who, it's better than the other options they have on the roster, so he should start. But
how dare you disrespect Taylor Heineke and whoever the Kyle Allen, whoever that character is.
Yeah. Meanwhile, people were sort of like Steph Curry disrespecting Tom Brady all year. And quietly, Tom Brady passed with 40 touchdowns. And, you know, he looked like Tom Brady at age, 43?
Last 10 come against Detroit?
Well, I was going to say, I'll push back on that a little bit, Marcus. I'd say he looked like Tom Brady against non-playoff teams. When he had to roll up on them Saints.
Well, listen, he's facing a non-playoff team this weekend against Washington. So he'll be right at home. He'll probably throw for 4 touchdowns. And the only way Washington can win this game is if Chase Young can just goes off and you know, is in Tom Brady's face all day. Outside of that, I can't see this Tampa team losing to Washington.
Yeah, like, here's the thing, TJ, like, my sleeper pick, like, if I had a fantasy pick for the Super Bowl, it would be the Washington football team versus the Chiefs, because, like, I'm here for the chaos. I'm here for the political incorrectness between these two teams and their mascots. But I think unless Chase Young can really be disruptive on that Tampa Bay offense, I hate to say it because I'm not a Tom Brady fan by any stretch. I think Tampa's going to win this round and then probably get beat in the next round.
But, I mean, just think of the story of Washington coming together, rallying around their quarterback, who they thought was left for dead, literally, on the field after signing this big contract.
And the coach, like their head coach who beat cancer this year.
Beat cancer. Nothing else happened with that team at all. So please stop asking questions about why we're the Washington football team and what's going on with their ownership. Stop asking questions.
All right. So, TJ, while we've got you in the full screen here, shout out to the control room. Let's go to that Chicago New Orleans game. Drew Brees and them boys. Do you think we'll get the upset here for Jermaine, or will the Saints continue to roll?
Well, is their running backs able to play? Like, is Kamara back? Is Murray back? Is, you know, whomever else is on that team allowed to play this week, or are they stuck with the corpse of David Montgomery?
I believe the running back's not named Alvin Kamara will be clear. I think the question would be Kamara, who actually had COVID, will be the one that's up in the air. But Murray will be back. So
okay. Well, that helps, and it helps they're playing at home in New Orleans, and it helps that the Bears are now trusting Trubisky again. So I would expect the Saints to go off and win this game. However, I like the chaos that is Mitch Trubisky still being the Chicago quarterback, so I'm rooting for a Bears win and them to be like, you know what? Maybe we should sign to the Supermax and bring it back for another 5 years.
Oh, that's how you get stuck in a loveless marriage. Maserati Mitch all the way. Marcus, we know who I'm going for in this game, but I like if I'm choosing with my head instead of my heart, I think the Saints are going to win. What say you, brother?
Yeah, the Bears have some pieces around Mitch that are actually pretty good. David Montgomery, Allen Robinson. But when it comes down to the quarterback situation, the Saints defense is actually pretty legit. And the idea of Mitchell Trubisky trying to figure out and beat the Saints team, I don't see it. So. I'm going to go Saints.
Okay. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, Marcus, I feel like we've asked some variation of this question for as long as this show's been around, and I'll ask it again because we're talking about our final playoff game that we're going to speak on, and that is your LA Rams, Marcus. And the question is Jared Goff any good? Is he good or is he bad? Or like, what is Jared Goff right now?
Jared Goff is a serviceable quarterback being paid at a contract level that would make him an amazing quarterback. And that's not what he is.
So what you're saying is he's West Coast Carson Wentz.
Yes.
Carson Wentz, maybe West Coast Carson Wentz next year for the 49ers.
That is an excellent point. That is an excellent point, TJ. I think you got to go with Russ in this one, right? Like, I know TJ said that they don't have a lot outside of Russ and DK, but they got enough to get by the Rams.
Is Goff even playing, or is he still out with a broken thumb?
He's still TBD, but I don't think he's on the start.
Yeah, so they have someone coming from the not XFL playing quarterback for them?
John Wolford.
Yeah, okay. Cool. So if Russ and them boys lose this game – I think it's a fireable offense on Pete Carroll. How you lose someone from the American Football Association?
Yes. Yeah, and then also a little editorial note here, Marcus. So what you're saying is in this past week, not only will we have seen Nate Sudfeld, a disgrace to all of us named Nate. Like, I thought Nate Robinson took the worst L of the past few months, but Nate Sudfeld looked terrible out there. So not only have we seen Nate Sudfeld, but now we've seen this John Wofford character starting a playoff game. And Colin Kaepernick is still unemployed. That's all I'm going to say, Marcus. The floor is yours.
Look, Cap's not coming back. We can. When can we close this conversation on Cap?
At least EA Sports put him back in the damn Madden game.
That's true.
I brought I brought him to take. So in my little football season, you know, Roth just retired. And you know what? I signed him. I felt good. You know, I saw him on the waiver wire. I picked him over Trubisky. I was like, yeah, you can be there on my team.
Yeah. Like, well, here's the thing. Since we're talking Madden, so I started a franchise too, TJ, and you know, I had to rebuild this Washington football team, and we ain't had no quarterbacks, man. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick up Cap from the free agency wire. I'm going to make a trade, and I got PJ Walker as my backup, and then we're gonna draft some hotshot kid out of college. But Cap's good enough to get us through the next few seasons.
Just like Alex Smith is good enough to get them to the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay this year and be Super Bowl XL champions or LV champions or where the hell Roman Rocky Five number that we're at right now.
Mm. So, well, that's our football picks, but you brought up Roman in terms of the numerals, TJ. But Roman Reigns is a professional wrestler. And this, go with me here, Marcus. We're walking down the path. Roman Reigns is a professional wrestler who works for a company called the WWE. And some would say that he's a legend in the making. But this past Monday night, last night on Raw, Marcus Vandenberg, we had all of our legends come home. And I know TJ McClune wants to speak about these legends.
Of course I do. You know, nothing says ratings like people from 1990 and 1980. I mean, that's why we're stuck with President Trump right now, because people love stuff that happened in the 90s.
Marcus, I know you didn't watch it.
No.
So the Cliffs Notes is like it was kind of your usual Legends Night. I don't know why we went to a shot of TJ right there.
You love my ESPN style backdrop right there with the bookshelf. I have no clue what's on.
Yeah, so it was Legends Night, Marcus. So you know we had Mickie James and Tatanka and Alicia Fox and Sergeant Slaughter and Ric Flair and all sorts of legends pop up in backstage vignettes. And Flair got involved in Charlotte's match. And, you know, but the main event, the two big main eventers. Number one, we saw the return of Terry Bollea and Jimmy Hart. And
Terry Bollea, by the way, who talked to ESPN's Greg Wyshynski, shout out to Greg. Mm. And he was befuddled why the locker room doesn't have time for Terry. I wonder why.
No time for Terry.
At least it wasn't like they're stuck on their TikToks and their Sega Genesis and their video games and their Twitches.
But yeah, Terry came back and helped promote Drew McIntyre's big match against Keith Lee. I don't know about the optics of that. I'm just going to leave it there. But then, in a moment that I'm sure made TJ's heart grow three sizes last night, Bill Goldberg came back to set up a match with your world champion, Drew McIntyre. TJ, go ahead and speak on it.
I thought you were going to say what made my heart grow three sizes was because Cardi B is now feuding with the WWE over Twitter. So who knows how the hell that happened. I'm glad that we're being very sociable that way. But no, it's good. Give me Goldberg in here because I at least don't know what's going to happen. It could be either a Goldberg squash. He goes over and he carries the title into WrestleMania again like he did with Kevin Owens back in 2018, I think, whenever that was. Or it could be there's a five-minute match, Claymore to the head, and he's out like he was against Strowman back at this year's non-fan-attended WrestleMania. So I don't know what's going to happen. So it's why, like, when Brock Lesnar comes back, because you don't know what's going to happen. It's why I hate these New Japan main events, because I do know what's going to happen. It's going to be some 45-minute slogfest where everyone does 16,000 kick-out moves and triple flips off their head and onto the sidebar, and it's going to last me 45 minutes, and I can just wait until the 40-minute mark to tune in. So give me the unexpectedness of what this match is going to look like, more so than, you know, some big flippy-dippy Matt classic.
Mm. So TJ with the New Japan shade. Shout out to Brandon out there in the chat who's wondering if Cardi B is going to perform at WrestleMania, Marcus, maybe a duet with Flo Rida perhaps? Is that something that would interest you?
No. As long as Flo Rida gets back on that gas.
Like now I'm trying to think, Marcus. Like now I'm trying to think how can Cardi B reformat WAP so that it applies to the world of professional wrestling?
We couldn't start with wet. We'll probably toss that out.
Yeah, we got to find a substitute for wet.
Wrestling ass professionals.
Ooh.
That's a new stable.
Okay, okay. There's some pros in this house.
As okay. long as somehow, you know, Jackson Riker and Elias come out and they are the rapist crap group again. No, nothing. And again, just please don't look into what happened with Riker. You know, we don't need to go down that road. It's just two guys that like playing rock music. That's all. We're not trying to we're not trying to draw any comparisons or what happened in the past. No.
I'm kind of with you on this Goldberg thing, TJ. Like, I've never been the person that's been like, oh, why are they bringing back this old person? Like, I think there's a way to use legends. And particularly if this is a setup to elevate Drew, I think it could be a good thing. But even if Goldberg finds, like, if they have Goldberg go over Drew, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world.
What?
I don't think that's the worst thing in the world, Marcus. I don't. Because, again, like, if we've learned nothing from 2020, Marcus, I'm here for the chaos. I'm here for the meltdown. Like, and here's TJ's here, so I feel like I can speak freely. You know, I don't feel like we're talking behind anybody's back. You know, we've got our brother representing the other delegation here. Like, Marcus, once they did what they did with Kofi Kingston and Brock Lesnar, I'm like, burn it down. I'm Seth Rollins. Burn it down. Like, chaos, I'm here for.
So they should have put the title on Keith last night and then had the 5-minute squash at the Rumble coming up here in a couple weeks with Goldberg.
Yeah, and then Terry Bollea gets the Money in the Bank briefcase, cashes in.
All making sense.
Marcus, come on. You got to love that.
I don't understand how they haven't made a stable called the Super Pack.
There's two on the nose.
No, okay. Gotcha.
Linda, I mean, is there any worse, Marcus, than my idea a couple weeks ago with Wei Tang of Linda McMahon coming in to be the manager for the Hurt Business?
Yeah, that's...
Like, she's all about small businesses. Why not, you know, Linda MVP needs a mouthpiece. Let Linda McMahon do it.
I'm glad she's been off TV. I'm glad she's been busy the last 4 years.
So when's the last time you watched any WWE, Marcus?
I watched TLC. I watched some of that.
Mm-hmm. Pay-per-views hadn't been bad this year. Like, I mean, last year, all things considered.
Money in the Bank was pretty bad.
Like, there was some really bad Fiend stuff during the year.
Speaking of TLC, yes.
But, like, I think, like, a lot, like, the Roman Reigns stuff has been pretty good.
That's been good, yeah. But in terms of watching Raw, SmackDown, I will occasionally fast forward through SmackDown. I saw, I think, part of the Christmas show. Mm-hmm. But Raw is a no-go. Raw is an absolute no-fly zone for me.
TJ, before we let you get out of here, brother, like, of course, as I mentioned a little while ago, like, TJ McClune, not just a friend of the program, not just somebody plugged into the world of Texas sports, but a bit of a burgeoning wrestling mogul, a promoter, if you will. So, TJ, what are your thoughts on the current state of the business? And, you know, as somebody who has promoted shows, who's run shows, like, how was 2020 for you in terms of, like, some of the restrictions that had to be applied to the business?
I haven't been to a show since last Inspire one here in Austin. January 16th was the last time I saw a show. Mm. And that was Effie and Starks before, you know, Ricky went off to AEW land. But no, it's, you know, I have friends that they tried it back in the summertime and they tried doing the social distancing thing. And they tried doing, you know, the workers try to get their tests beforehand. And it's just, it's a lot to undertake. And it's just not worth people's time to go and try it, to go off and do it right now, which... It sucks because it hurts making the stars that are going to take over a wide open gap on the indie scene right now. You know, thanks to AEW, there's a vast, vast, vast opening for someone to be that next person that is the transcendent person that becomes the top draw on the indie scene. As you know, everyone that was a hit is now in AEW or in NXT. So there's a big hole for someone to take over, like a Mance Warner, Effie, you know, here in Texas. We don't have that main star outside of ACH who is starting to come back more out there in, you know, Game Changer. But there's a big hole, and it's not being filled. And I don't know when it's going to get filled for the independent shows. I mean, Game Changer's doing stuff, but it's not what it was.
Could you see a a established wrestler, say an established independent wrestler who went to one of those two companies that decided to leave, filling that hole?
The only one that comes to my mind right now is Janela. He's the only one that he left, want the AEW, is doing stuff, and when he is asked to deliver, he does. Like his match against Moxley back in, what, the summer of 2019? Yeah, so 2019. And his last one against Omega, you know, a couple weeks back. But he seemed like he was a bigger deal on the independent scene than he is here in AEW, which is a shame because he's super talented. And he can produce when asked. But that's the only one where if he breaks off and comes back to the indies, he can do well. Or if Sammy does something where he has to get fired because of whatever else, you know, he says online or in a podcast or whatever, he can come back and tour the country and be a big draw and put together some great matches. Or Strickland, you know, Shane Strickland, who is now Isaiah Swerve or Isaiah Scott in NXT. Someone else that was on fire with Defy, with here in Inspire Pro, with some of the other big name promotions. But after that, it's just it's a gulf. Like even now, even people who aren't currently signed to AEW who used to be on WWE, maybe Zack Ryder or Matt Cardona or wherever he's going by now, it can be that guy that can be like the must-have, must-see person that Matt Hardy was when he got dropped by the WWE. But it's I don't know. I really don't know who the the common fan will want to go out and spend their money to go see if they come to their town. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's. Like 2020 was just a weird year, like not only with COVID, but then you also had, you know, the speaking out movement where a lot of kind of dirt, TJ, like a lot of the dirt that's been going on was finally brought to light. And so, like, I feel like, yes, that was like a traumatic time in the business, but it could also be a time for renewal and getting the right people in place. Like I say, one of my favorite indie shows last year was probably like the For the Culture show. Like that was something that was really cool. I was glad that they were able to put it all together despite the circumstances. But you're right. Like, I feel like there's got to be like one or two kind of transcendent guys or girls that can kind of get that spark back. But the question is, like, we don't know because, you know, Marcus is out there in L.A. and they're going through some stuff right now with this new new strain of COVID and all that stuff. So it's like, I don't know where we're going to be. You know, come the summertime, TJ, when a lot of these big shows would be happening in terms of indie wrestling.
Yeah, it hurts not having PWG on Reseda. They were the ones that if you were anointed as this is our main draw, then okay, your career's about to start taking off because these are the guys that say you're next. And not having that to say this is the Bandidos, the Jeff Cobbs, the Keith Lees, the, you know, even, God, the Riddles of the, of the world, and say they're the next ones to go and promote and go forth. But who knows? It's
what about a guy like Leo? Do you think Leo could have that kind of spark?
If he wants to wrestle again, I know he's more. He's been doing a lot more stuff, but he's now doing the challenge. He wants to do his music. He wants to do acting. You know, he could be a great star, or he could just bounce off and go do acting, and that's great for him. But I don't know. We'll see. It's also with Ring of Honor. If they start signing people with exclusive contracts, then your guys like the Danhausens or Tony Deppen, who was starting to take off, and then got shut down because of the COVID. And if I'm an indie wrestler and a big company comes to me and they have that guaranteed money in that contract, take it. I don't know when the indie scene's coming back. So I would, you know, as I think Jalen Rose would say, get that money, get that money.
Yeah. Well, and that's where we'll end things, TJ, with you, brother, because I think there's something, you know, as much as people would say TJ and I are different people, Marcus, there has been one show that has united us that is no longer with us on these radio airwaves. And that's the Dan Levitard show with Stu Gotts. And so, you know, highly questionable still going on, but the radio show is no more. TJ, real quick, any thoughts about Dan and Stu and the rest of the crew in the shipping container?
The Pirate Radio. They saw their podcast coming out. So I listened to the first hour today and I need to listen to the rest of it. But yeah, it's great that they're still doing it. I met Billy back in the Atlanta Super Bowl. I bum rushed their Radio Row set and I say hi and said, hey, you guys missed the Ultimate Brawl, but here's if you guys want to come out and do this thing. So they would have came to the Atlanta show, but they got stuck at some old money Charlie party that they couldn't get out of, so they couldn't make it out there. So no, it's a phenomenal show that wasn't a sports show, that was a sports show, and they'll be missed.
Yeah, like I think they're one of my favorite shows. They kind of in their own weird way, Marcus, you know, the way that like you and I felt about Tony Kornheiser's show when he was on ESPN is kind of how I felt about the Lebertard show because, yeah, CJ said, like, it's a sports show, but they do so much with that framework of sports that's not typical. And so, like, right now, if I'm looking at ESPN, like, as much – like, I love Max Kellerman, but Max Kellerman isn't that outside-the-box dude. Like, Greeny is as straight-laced as they come. The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin show, like, it's fine, but – I think outside of like the Mike Golic Jr. show with Golic and Janae, like I think that's maybe the only one that kind of pushes the envelope, but the rest of them are just kind of your typical sports shows, Marcus. And I think, you know, that's that hole that the Lebertard show leaves is a hard one to fill.
I mean, if I were ESPN, I would fill that hole with Bomani. Yep. Bomani has proven in the past to do a morning show. That's actually, I found how I discovered the law, funny enough, when Bomani was doing the show, The Morning Jones on Sirius at Sim Radio. What would come on, I guess, before Bomani was a replay of the law. And that's how I found out about, you know, John Away and Addy and Malf and all those guys. So I think, you know, if I were ESPN, I would give the reins to Bomani.
Yeah, like I think that's one of the best things about Lebertard is like you and I and then some other folks, we knew about Bo, but like bringing out Bo and bringing out Dominique Foxworth and Mina Kynes and Pablo and Izzy, like there's so many talented people that I don't know would have gotten a shot, TJ, getting that profile. Like Amin El-Hassan, Amin El-Hassan getting a platform was pretty cool. So like you got to give Lebertard and them props for that.
I mean, Amin knows basketball. He'll teach you basketball. So I didn't really know too much about him until he came on and started talking about the Suns. And that's one thing I liked about that Lebertard did was Mike Ryan would have the little Lauer beforehand, and he would talk one-on-one with Amin. And it felt like the Conrad, you know, host a podcast where he would break down and go into something. Like, I didn't know that the Phoenix Suns training staff were huge Steeler fans. They were going to go to the Arizona Super Bowl. And the next thing you know, they blew a game, and you know, whomever the coach was at the time completely shut all that down and lost the whole entire locker room. So it's stuff like that that really was, you know, super interesting. So it's a shame that it's going to be gone. Like Katie Nolan found her way back into that.
Yep.
Jamil, came in here, found her way into that atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Michael Smith, before him and Jamil had to go, you know, away and go do their own thing. So it's going to be, you know, sad that he won't be that launching pad for people's careers, but someone else will fill in.
Yeah, hopefully. And then, yeah, like any show that has DDP angrily hanging up on you, That's got to be a good show. So,
shout out Bagwell, one of their friends too, for a while.
Yep, Buff Bag. Like, yeah, they found like these weird, and they were wrestling fans too, which is cool. Like, so they'd get these weird obsessions with, like, we'll talk to Ric Flair every day this week, or we'll talk to DDP for two or three days until he gets mad. Jericho was on a lot, you know. So yeah, Lebertard was a really strong show. So I'll miss it, but I'm glad like that we still have HQ on ESPN with Bo and. You know, like you said, Pirate Radio with Dan and those guys. And this is going to do it for the show, Marcus. But this is our first show of the new year. And so we have to end it the way we always do. And that's with a word not from us, but from, you know, maybe the greatest chronicler of events in America right now. And that's Mad Skills. TJ, are you familiar with Mad Skills yearly wrap ups?
I would say no, I am not. And I was going to make an N1 basketball mixtape reference, but, you know, I didn't feel that reference is outdated. So I'm going to say no. That little stink face by Marcus there. You know, we're just going to leave it there as a no.
We all know TJ was watching that show for the professor.
Yeah, you know, Escalade. That was my guy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, all right.
I love up. The giant 400-pound guy who can just catch the ball and no one can defend him because he's as big of a house.
Oh, yeah, that N1. Like, N1 was so big that they put out a video game where Mark Jindrak was an unlockable character.
Oh.
Like, Mark Jindrak was one of the bosses at, like, the Venice Beach Court. And if you beat him, you got to add Mark Jindrak to your street team.
God, I miss early 2000s video games like Def Jam for Vendetta.
But yeah, Mad Skills TJ is a rapper from VA, and like every year he does a yearly wrap up, and this year he did a 10-minute, or not even 10, it's like 9-something, minute wrap up, chronicling everything that happened this year, and it's great. We're gonna play it for the folks on the way out, because yeah, like that dude, like you can find him online at Skills VA on Twitter. So yeah, shout out to Mad Skills and the producer whose name I'll find here in a second. But while I'm doing that, TJ McClune, we want to thank you for coming on the show, brother. Where can people find you? Where can they shower you with praise for your appearance on the show, or shower you with hatred?
I mean, either's fine. So you can do at TJ McCallon, my last name. I didn't realize that the little name on the bottom was going to be your Twitter handle, but this is how I wish my name was spelled out whenever I was born, was all those E's and the J and the Y. So that'd been nice if that was the thing. But no, just TJ McCallon, and I'm sure I'll be tagged in your guys' social posts. Can go on from there. I post a lot about actually Instagram is where I do a lot of just – It's my kids. I don't care. Marcus gets it. When you have a small kid, they're a lot more interesting than you are. So you just want to post about them. I did learn. So Marcus, whenever your kid is a little older, because I believe your kid just turned one. So I found out with my little meatball 3-year-old, if I bring in interesting videos, they'll want to watch it. So I've really gotten him into like 90s grunge. And before that, he was into like 80s hair metal. So just a little warm-wise a little bit later on. If you want to get him into some like music that you got into, just sprinkle in the music videos and tell him like, oh, hey, when I was a kid, I first learned this word. And, you know, my kids played I Had to Follow the Leader at a game, and I always play Follow the Leader. And, oh, by the way, here's this song by Eric B. and Rakim. And just listen to that while, you know, I was a kid growing up with this.
See, Mark, like
– We watch – go ahead.
I was going to say real quick, Mark, is like TJ does not know that like you have been prepping baby Simba since he was in the womb. Like every night you would just put the headphones on your lovely wife's stomach and play El DeBarge. And so Marcus's son has grown up with the music of El DeBarge in his ears, carrying on the light skin banner.
We're going to start with sports first to see what, you know, we watch a lot of random stuff on YouTube. We're watching a random Laker game of the day from like 1980.
I was going to say, I was hoping it was from like the Nick Exel, Anthony Peeler era. Nick Van Exel.
No, this was peak Showtime with Kareem and Magic and Worthy. And, you know, we'll
see
what
he passes prime Glenn Rice
gravitates towards.
So Marcus Vanderburg.
He did watch New Japan yesterday morning.
Getting him on that New Japan early.
Yeah, he had some Tai Chi thoughts about what was going on there.
So. Why is he doing trying to break their necks? I thought it was a work. Why is he kicking out after two after 16 flips and a firebomb?
Is young baby Simba a fan of Jay White or not?
I am not, so he is not.
But real quick, Marcus, before we let you shout out your socials, the guy that produced the beat for Mad Skills is Andrew Hypes, and you can find him on Twitter at Andrew Hypes. He produced the beat for the 2020 wrap-up, so shout out to him and shout out to Skills. So, Marcus, speaking of Skills, if people want to find out where they can see more of your skills working for them good folks over at Yahoo Sports, where can they find you, brother?
You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. And you can find me on Twitter at @in8, MozAik. Let me get that shot right there so you can see my name right there. At @8, MozAik on Twitter, at Nate Mosaic. You can also check out the Patreon. We got a Patreon here at the Kings of Sport, patreon.com/the Kings of Sport. $5 gets you in the door. We know Mitch McConnell and them sending out stimulus texts this week. So no excuse, ladies and gentlemen. $5 gets you in the door for the Patreon. We appreciate and thank you for your support. But that is going to do it, fellas. We have come to the end of our first show of the brand new year. And again, we want to thank TJ McClune for hopping on the show and getting camera ready for this program. TJ, we appreciate you, brother. And we will definitely have to talk to you down the road, maybe around Super Bowl time.
Put on my finest hoodie for this occasion.
See if
Thanks, TJ.
See if TJ's Alex Smith prediction comes true.
Telling you, bet on the Washington football team.
All right. So that is TJ McClune. That is Marcus Vandenberg. We are out. Marcus is already out. Marcus got things to do. So for Marcus, for TJ McClune, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. Happy New Year, everybody, because you've been down with the Kings. And now, Mad Skill.
Hey, this your boy Mad Skills.
What up, though?
Oh, this about to be a vibe.
It's about to be a vibe.
Yeah, this the 2020 wrap up. Y'all sure y'all wanna take this ride?
Y'all ready for the ride?
Oh, this about to be short.
It's about to be short.
Nah, I'm just saying.
Hey, what you saying?
How about I just say Corona and the song be over? Nah, I'm just playing.
The year started out fun. Felt like it could have been the one.
Oh, this is my year.
Yeah, from the jump they tried to impeach Trump. Couldn't get the shit done.
They ain't get the shit done.
Shrugged it off at best.
Shrugged it off at best.
After that I cared less.
Everybody cared less.
And little did we know how low we really go. The year was about to go left.
The year was about to go left.
Harvey Weinstein guilty.
Oh yeah, he was guilty.
Stock market was a bust.
Stock market was a bust.
And then we lost Kobe and Gianna. And that just fucked everybody up.
Damn, homie.
Tiger King hit the scene.
Oh, you on the scene.
That bitch Carole Baskin me.
That bitch Carole Baskin.
Yeah, it was the year of the cans. White women saying up everything.
Saying up everything.
Calling the cops off top.
Call
that white privilege run deep.
Oh, yeah, it run deep.
Ma'am, watch your tone now before I put this phone down. You get your ass beat.
Oh, my God.
Girl, I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck.
The whole world became woke.
Y'all so fake woke.
They shooting and killing rappers out here. Rest in peace to homie Pop Smoke.
They did a little bro wrong.
Yeah, and then COVID-19, it crept on the scene. We all shrugged it off like,
that really a thing?
Cardi sent coronavirus, y'all, it ain't fake. I'm like, this the USA, they gon' keep us all safe. Big ass mistake, people started getting ill.
They like, stay your ass home.
Oh, this shit get real. You know, I'ma keep it a bean, been real since birth. I ain't believe it till my pastor closed church.
Wow.
You know I'm an analyzer. Now I'm taking baths and hand sanitizer. And it's no school, no work. Everything is on Zoom. If I wanna flatten the curve, gotta stay in this room. 2020, you a hater. I done caught the vapors. Now I'm in line buying all this toilet paper. Then the pandemic came and everything went bad. And it was just March. I was like, bro.
Hey,
going to disappear one day, like a miracle, it will disappear.
Now we stuck in the house,
yeah, I mean,
trying to figure this out.
Quarantine.
Some of us were okay, the rest of us just prayed with a mind full of doubt.
Man, what we gonna do?
And people started losing jobs. And everybody got stressed.
Everybody so stressed.
Like y'all really had the gall to think we solve all this mess with a stimulus check.
Just $1,200.
Everybody going live. Especially the DJs. Told y'all music saved. Shot the homie D Nice. He hit 100K. Thank God for the music. Bro, I can't even front. Even I was getting busy on the 1 and 2. Shout the 90s
girl brunch.
Yeah, big shout to Versus. Man, them lives got a stew. Yeah, between the battles and the memes, that's all we had to look forward to.
Man, that's so true.
And the cops kept killing us.
It
felt like we was cursed.
And
no cap and shit was already bad, but when that happened, man, it just got worse.
Oh, it's about to get worse.
Now the whole world protesting.
Everybody protesting.
Lot of movement on the ground.
Lot of movement on the ground.
Got the fires going up, plus the looting going up, statues coming down.
Man, fuck them statues.
6ix9ine came home.
Whole ass.
Yo, Akon, that's your man.
Yo, bro, that's your man.
Meg and B had the baddies like a Savage. Jordan hit the last dance.
Oh, I'm a sad.
Now we all wearing masks, getting tested out the ass. Bro, the country was divided, man. We look so bad. Black Lives Matter kept pushing our truth and being sensitive to it became the cool thing to do. Companies made pleas. The awareness went up. They did everything they could, but they ain't stopped killing us. Murder hornets on the loose. Terry Crews, you a clown. Kanye for press, bruv. You don't sit your ass down. Toy shot Meg, but couldn't get the story straight. Then Cardi B and Meg put that wop in our face. Lakers got the chip. That boy AD trouble, but the season was lame cause they played it in the bubble. TikTok got bigger than them folks tried to take it. We was down in P-Valley where the girls got naked. It's like time stood still, man, we couldn't get a win. We were living day once and living same day again. They say black is still king, but did Nick Cannon wrong? Got 12-year-olds singing Don't Kill Me songs. Then they killed Breonna Taylor and Chadwick Pass. And that was just summer. I was like, bruh.
You about to lose your job.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
The Demo- Democrats wore kente. It damn near took me under. Yeah, and we were so bored, we watched the dude in the jungle singing numbers.
One, two, three.
Now it's no more festivals.
No more festivals.
And no more live music.
No more live music.
Yeah, and I ain't sure about you, but I sure miss going to the movies.
Miss going to the movies.
A bad year for the census.
Uh-huh.
And to the workers, I applaud you.
To the workers, I applaud you.
Yeah, and to the rappers that endorse Trump, how'd that work out for you?
How'd that work out for
we
you?
We in a whole race war.
Whole race war.
And talk about bad timing.
Talk about bad timing.
And if you ever said all lives matter, yes, you were part of the problem.
All lives
yes, you
matter.
Told us to vote by mail.
You gotta vote by mail.
Said that was our only option.
No, that's your only option.
And F moving the goalposts, they was moving whole mailboxes.
Bro, where the mailbox?
And Clubhouse was the app.
Clubhouse was the app.
Kinda whack once you join.
Can I get an invite?
Yeah, the country's stressing, but ain't nobody questioning how we running out of coins.
Bro, we running out of coins.
Super spreaders kept growing.
Super spreaders kept growing.
Dr. Fauci tried to warn them.
You know he tried to warn
them. Yeah, and the teacher's so stressed dealing with this mess. Check up on them.
Yo, check on the teacher.
Hell, I was thinking about leaving.
I was thinking about leaving.
And maybe never coming back.
I ain't never coming back.
Yeah, hop on my skateboard and ride out, vibing to some Fleetwood Mac.
A little Fleetwood Mac.
And then Loon came home.
Don't forget Jewel.
Big shout to my brothers.
Free all my brothers.
And I done washed my hands so much, man. These joints about to change colors.
I'm about to be Caucasian, bruh. Yeah,
but nah, no cap. Gotta keep them both clean.
Uh-huh.
Or be like Teddy Riley in that funny ass meme. $600, damn, bro, they a trip. The next stimulus check gonna be a soda and some chips.
Whoa.
The government never cared at all. Kids can't go to school, but they could go to the mall.
Yep.
Mike Ford Roy, and yeah, it wasn't great. But the undercar was hard. Hater had to be Nate. The surges went up, and y'all was back outside. Risking everything for a PS5.
Wow.
Speaking of fives, remember y'all was high key, saying this whole thing was caused by 5G?
Yep.
This year let you know exactly who to trust. It's the economy for them. They don't care about us.
No.
I'm putting them all on blast.
Uh-huh.
F-2020's ass. If I could, I would.
I'm not saying we modeling.
We had a boring ass summer.
We ain't had no summer.
With no hope for the fall.
No hope for the fall.
Caught Lil Bronny smoking. Joe Budden not for nothing, bro. You jerking off dogs?
You a whole ass weirdo.
Made the city shut down.
Everybody shut down.
Economy in limbo.
Everybody in limbo.
Except for Florida and Atlanta. Where your manners? Damn, y'all ain't get the memo?
ATL,
they tried to defund the cops.
Defund the cops.
And we all know the reason.
We all know the reason.
Trump got the virus. He ain't even get tired. He was tweeting by the weekend.
Yo, take his phone.
Now everybody campaigning.
Everybody campaigning.
Politics and telling lies.
And they all tell lies.
Mike Pence, bro, you been a piece of shit. You know you can't fool flies.
You can't fool flies.
Jeezy made up with Gucci.
Bruh.
Shot Benny and Boosie. Told my friends if we ain't 6 feet apart, then I'm chucking up the deuces.
Y'all go over there.
The civil unrest was tense.
It was way too tense.
Enhanced by the government.
Bro, what government?
Man, we went outside to eat inside. Shit didn't make sense.
That made no sense.
The election took forever.
Way too long.
Your boy Trump said it was red.
Yeah, you know it won't red.
Joe and Kamala won big. Bye, Don, man. You know what it is.
Time to get your ass out.
Now your boy won't concede. That ain't hard to believe. And we still on the fence about that damn vaccine. How about y'all go first? We'll see how it goes. Shout to the health workers. Y'all the real heroes.
Yes.
This year was a test, bro. I ain't gonna hold you. Hey, 2021, I done already told you. We done had enough. We got no more fights. So if you coming in here, sit down and act right. This past year was tough. We gonna need a divorce. A lot of stress. So God bless the ones that we lost. And I'm so grateful we made it here together. Look at us surviving the longest year ever. I can't say a new day will fill the void. But if you made it through 2020, make some noise. No more having to look over your shoulder. Cause if you hearing this, then you know it's over. So let me get to the reason. I know this whole time you've been listening, laughing, and kikiing. And yeah, the year was kinda hard. But at least we still made it by the grace of God. So live your life with a passion. Some of us dealt with some things you could never imagine. Here's a reality check. The whole time you've been listening to me was the same amount of time Derek Chauvin had his knee on George Floyd's neck.
Everything hurts. Ah, there's water or something. Please. Please. Ah, I can't breathe.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat, because that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah!
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?